It's February and love is in the air, but will it last? Love that is based on looks, pleasure, fun, good times, wealth, health, etc. won't last. Godly love, though, isn't based on circumstances. Godly love involves an act of the will. Children and families in America desperately need for husbands and wives to commit to love one another as Christ has loved them. With God's help, you can love your spouse until death do you part.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
During the month of February, we've been focusing on looking at God's Word as truth and applying that truth to relationships. We looked 2 weeks ago from 2 Peter, where the Apostle Peter said that it was important that even though the believers knew what was right and he encouraged them to make their call and election sure, he says, even though you know this, you're established in this, I'm going to make sure that I remind you until I'm dead. And then he even said that even after he was dead, that he would continue to remind them. In John chapter 18, Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? And although he was doing so sarcastically, it still is a valid question. We need to ask ourselves, what is truth? And we need to look at the Bible as our framework for determining what truth is. We also see from John chapter 17 that Jesus said that God's word is truth. And then in Psalm 119, many parts of Psalm 119 talk about God being true, his word being true, his word being everlasting, and his righteousness being everlasting, and also talks about using the word of God to help a young man cleanse his way and keep him from sin. We also see from John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, Jesus speaking to Jews who believed in him, said that if they abided in his word, they would be his disciples indeed, and they would know the truth, and the truth would set them free. By abiding in the word of God, we actually have the ability to know the truth and to be set free from our sins. Why? Because God's word is true, and when you're abiding in or living in his word, you know the truth. We also see in John chapter 14 that Jesus said that he is true. And then in Acts chapter 17, we see an example of the Berean believers who were open-minded, open to learn new things, but also didn't just accept everything that they heard as true, but actually looked and searched the Word of God to find out what the Bible would say about this. And then we saw from Romans chapter 1 that there are some people who know the truth, but actually suppress the truth. And this is something that is critical when we want to know the truth. You need to know that not everyone that's out there, even those who sometimes are an authority figure, those who know better and should be someone that you can trust, it's important that you realize that they could know the truth but be suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. And then we see in Romans chapter 1, again, verse 25, that there are those who exchange the truth of God for the lie. So they accept the lie of the devil, and they accept that as truth and reject the truth of God. And they worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. But we as the church have that responsibility to be the pillar in the ground of truth, as the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, that the church is to be the pillar and the ground of truth. And we in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're supposed to rightly divide the truth. And we talked last week, we actually gave some examples of those who actually know the truth, but are suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. And one of those was Dr. Money, who a lot of the transgender research was based on his work, where there was parents who had two twin boys, and the twin boys needed to be circumcised, and there was a malfunction of the machine, and the private part of one of the boys was damaged to the point that it had to be removed. Dr. Money believed that if a boy can be raised as a girl, that boy would be a girl. It was about how they were raised. This boy, Bruce, was raised as a girl, and his name was changed. Yet Bruce, whose name was changed to Brenda, really didn't believe and really wanted to be a boy and felt like she was a boy because she was a he, not a she. And Dr. Money really knew that this wasn't going right, but he still put out publicly that she was adapting, that she was growing, that she you know, was kind of a tomboy, but she did love playing with dolls and mimicking her mother and so on and so forth. Later on, Brenda detransitioned and lived as a man known as David at this point, and came out with some interviews where he said that all of his life he felt like he was a man. Yet Dr. Money never admitted that he was deceiving people. This was really one of those who actually was suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. And then we also talked about Chloe Cole, who was a young girl who was sexually molested. She wanted to hide her breasts because that was the part that of her that was molested. Doctors told her and her parents that she might commit suicide if they didn't allow her to transition. And so she started taking puberty-blocking hormones and started taking testosterone and actually had a double mastectomy. And then realized later what a regret that she had at what she had done. She now has detransitioned, and she is a voice against the transitioning, especially of young children. And today we're going to talk also about two other people that have detransitioned. One is Brian Wagner, and Brian Wagner. When Brian was about 20 years old, he was extremely alienated. He had a drug problem and was addicted to pornography. Through his addiction to porn, he developed a sex fetish and went to a female therapist who told him that he was really a woman, that he and she had the same brain, that she put him on estrogen and testosterone blockers. All of his problems actually got worse, not better. And once he got sober, he began to have gender dysphoria when people treated him as a woman. After transitioning, he said, it was like leaving the Twilight Zone. He now feels like collateral damage for a movement that he is not even a part of. He says, they completely ignore me. They don't want to hear these stories. But my story is real. My pain is real. I just thank God every day of my life that I never had plastic surgery. I took hormones and they messed me up. But I had my facial hair removed. But I do believe that I'll be able to bounce back from this. And thankfully, he didn't have surgery to have his male parts removed. But that is happening today. boys are having their testicles removed. They're having their male organ removed and actually inverted, and a part of the intestine added to it to make a fake vagina. And this is really, which is really just a wound that can be infected, and it's really perverse, and it's a perversion of the created order. God, from the beginning, and we read this last week, we'll read it again from Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 through 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." So we see that God here created man in his own image. In the image of God, God created man. So we are created in his image, and we're created as either male or female. The idea that you can change your gender, or that you might be misgendered, is a fallacy, and it's not in accordance with the Word of God. We need to look at what the Bible says and believe the Bible and trust God. God is our Creator. He is sovereign. He knows what is best. And if he created you as a man, you need to live as a man. If he created you as a woman, you need to live as a woman. If he created you as a girl, live as a girl. Accept that. If he created you as a boy, live as a boy. We see also in Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 25, that God actually created woman as a helper for man. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in his place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "Now this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called a woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." So here we see that woman was created to be a helper to man. And they were told to be fruitful and multiply. And this is something that can't happen when you take your reproductive organs or you have a doctor remove your reproductive organs. You cannot reproduce. And a man cannot reproduce. A woman can't reproduce. It is necessary to have a man and a woman to reproduce. And this was God's intent from the foundation, that a man should leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and that the two should become one flesh. I know that there are some out there that might be saying, "Well, hey, listen, that's in the Old Testament, and we're not under the law anymore." Of course, this wasn't really a part of the law. This was a part of God's created order. But for those who believe, and by the way, the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His standards are the same. Certainly, some things have changed. What has changed is we no longer need to sacrifice the blood of bulls and goats and sheep for our sins, because Jesus has become our scapegoat. He has become our Passover lamb. He shed his blood on the cross and poured out his blood on the Holy of Holies in heaven for the perpetuation of our sins, so that our sins, so that your sins and mine can be forgiven when we come and repent of our sins before him. But that's his standard is still the same. It hasn't changed. In fact, Jesus said that he didn't come to do away with the law and the prophets. And Jesus, in the book of Matthew, does reaffirm God's created order. And in chapter 19, beginning of verse 3, the Pharisees came to him, testing him, and saying to him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?" And he answered and said to them, "Have you not read that he who made them from the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." They said to him, "Why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away?" He said to them, "Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery." And so what do we say, though, when we look at those who have transitioned? What should be done? Just think about it here. We have people, real people, who used to be boys, who are now living as girls. Those who used to be girls that are living as boys. Those who used to be men that are living as women. Those who used to be women living as men. You can go to a doctor. You can have your breasts removed if you're a woman. You can have your ovaries removed and your womb removed. You can even have an appendage added to your body that looks like a male organ. But you still will be a woman because you're created in God's image as a woman. And as a man, you may have your testicles removed. You may have your male organ removed. You may have testosterone blocker and estrogen added to your body. But that doesn't make you a woman. You may even have a fake vagina created, but that doesn't make you a woman. You're a man created in God's image and need to accept what God has given us. And God does offer redemption to sinners. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, we read, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" And that's a bad thing, by the way, because every one of us is unrighteous. Every one of us has sinned. Every one of us has fallen short of the glory of God. Yet God has given us the ability to repent before him and to have our sins forgiven, to be washed away by the blood of Jesus. He goes on here, "Do not be deceived, neither fornicators," and that's, by the way, anyone that practices sexual immorality, "nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." And that's bad news for those who have committed these sins. And by the way, if you look at these sins, I think that most of us would fit into these sins, especially when you consider that Jesus said that if you look at a woman to lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. And so, you know, that would be true also if a woman looks at a man with lust. She has committed adultery in her heart. God cares not just what we do outwardly. He also cares what's in the heart, and we have all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And if it stopped right there, it would be a very bad thing, but thankfully it doesn't. He says in verse 11, and such were, that is past tense, some of you. So you used to be this, but you're not anymore. He says you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So God has the ability to take you from where you are now to where he needs you to be. And if you are out there right now living in sin, maybe you're fornicating, committing idolatry, adultery, a homosexual or a sodomite or a thief or covetous. By the way, that covetous is one that there's no outward, unless you actually act on coveting, no one knows that you have coveted. And that's the sin that the Apostle Paul said convinced him that he was a sinner, nor a drunkard, nor a reviler, nor an extortioner. None of these will inherit the kingdom of God. But we can come to God. We can repent of our sins. We can be set free from our sins and live for God. And thankfully, this is happening today. People are actually coming to the realization that their life as a transitioner is a lie and is sin, and are repenting before God, and God is setting them free. And such is the case with a woman named Laura Perry. She's a former transitioner. She transitioned from a woman to a man, and she has now transitioned back to a woman. And she has a story on the internet about how Jesus Christ radically delivered her and restored her. And I'm going to read a little bit from this story. I'm a former transitioner, having lived in it for almost 9 years. I underwent years of cross-sex hormone therapy, 2 major gender-affirming surgeries, and all the legal changes. Here's my story. I would describe myself as a disciple of Jesus Christ, but it wasn't always that way. I spent nearly 20 years of abject, intentional rebellion against God, nearly 9 years of which I lived as a transgender. I hated God, I hated my family, and I hated the person I was. It wouldn't be true, though, to say I hated myself. I loved myself probably to the point of narcissism. I worshipped at the altar of self. I hated the person God had created me to be. Indeed, I loved the version of myself that I had created. The transgender thoughts and feelings started early in childhood from a misunderstood relationship with my mom. I wrongly believed that she loved boys more than girls because of how differently she treated my brothers and me. It seemed to be a logical conclusion. I did not have the language for it then. I had never heard the word transgender. My heart burned with jealousy and confusion. I simply knew I wanted to be a boy like my brother. I spent the next 25 years trying to get fulfillment and love through sex. In high school, men objectified me and women in general more and more. I began to believe it was a disgusting, filthy, worthless thing to be a female. Shame and self-hatred permeated my heart. I decided that I was supposed to have been a man and began the journey to become a transgender man named Jake. I hated Jesus for making me a girl and decided I would never serve him again. What was promised to be a freedom had become my prison cell, and I soon became enslaved for the need for affirmation. I was wearing clothes that never fit right, injecting myself over and over with needles for the hormone injections, and wearing prosthetics that were a constant reminder of how fake it all was. My relationship with my parents was almost non-existent. And then her mother actually asked her to create a website for her Bible study. And through this website that she created in reading the Bible study, she actually began to come to grips with the change that she saw in her mother and the change that Jesus had made in her mother. And God started to minister to her heart as well. She started to wrestle with this and started to even wrestle with Jesus. And Jesus was convicting her of her sin and showing her that the way she was living was wrong and calling her unto repentance. And so she actually confessed her sin before God and asked God to forgive her of her sin. It wasn't an easy decision to make. She had to leave her job. She had to leave her partner of 9 years. And she really had no means of supporting herself at this time. But her family did show love to her and care for her and helped her through this. The women from her mother's Bible study helped her out. She actually went out and bought women's clothes. And she learned to actually accept the person that God created her to be. And she now is actually even married to a loving man who knows what she's been through but still loves her anyway. God has totally restored her as she turned from her wicked ways, repented of her sins, and served God. And God can do that to you today as well. No matter what you've been through, no matter what you're going through, He can do this with other young men and women who find themselves in this transgender trap where they're trying to be someone that other than who God has created them to be. And so let's pray for those in that situation. And if you are in that situation, repent of your sins and cry out to God and ask God to help you to turn and to accept who He has created you to be and to live as a woman if God created you as a woman, or as a man if God created you as a man. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
It's February and love is in the air, but will it last? Love that is based on looks, pleasure, fun, good times, wealth, health, etc. won't last. Godly love, though, isn't based on circumstances. Godly love involves an act of the will. Children and families in America desperately need for husbands and wives to commit to love one another as Christ has loved them. With God's help, you can love your spouse until death do you part.
This longing, sometimes it captures my heart and carries me far away, beyond the sky, beyond all. our Father himself will be.